Welcome back to Marlins on Deck. I'm Boomer Dangle, joined by Hall of Fame pitcher Don Sutton. Mr. Sutton, thank you so much for joining us. Let's start big and then narrow down a little bit. There was a time when 1,000 innings for a starting rotation would be a good indicator. If a rotation could hit that threshold, it might tell you the direction of the ball club for that season. What does the number 1,000 innings mean for a starting rotation in 2016 in your mind?
It's a number you're not going to see. That's what it means. It just means you're not going to see it. And people ask me, how come pitchers can't go nine anymore? How come pitchers can't pitch 250 innings? It's not that they can't. The system that we're in, they are not allowed to. And I guess I'm not a cynic, but I keep wondering, with all the information we have on diet, conditioning, and therapy and preparation now, we have all that, yet we have more arm surgeries than ever before. We have fewer innings, and we're paying more for those innings. So, you know, I'm no Phi Beta Kappa. I didn't graduate from Harvard or Yale. But to me, with more surgeries, many more than ever happened in the 70s and the 60s, something's not adding up. But, you know, I can't figure it out. I think right now when you see a guy coming out of spring training and the manager and the coach says, I hope he can give me six good innings today. And that's called a quality start. That's a 450 earned run average. There are times in the past where that would get you sent back to AA. So I know I'm kind of rambling here some, but I don't understand what's going on, and the product has not gotten better because of it. If the product is not better, don't we need to reevaluate?
Maybe unsurprisingly, the Cubs are the closest to 1,000 innings for their rotation, and even they need better than 6 1/3 in the remaining games on their schedule to hit that mark, which, like you said, is asking a lot out of them. Not to get too heavy into mechanics or anything, but there was a time when part of the art of pitching was maybe not going max effort on every single pitch. Do you think that might be a lost skill in pitchers today?
Well, I think it's not expected now, because if you shorten the number of innings expected, you can expect more effort in those innings. Heck, I'm only going five innings, so let me air it out. And the way we have set up the system where you have 12, 13 pitchers, to me, that makes no sense either. You want shorter games? Mandate a 10-man pitching staff. Then the manager's got to manage a little bit more. It doesn't surprise me that it's the Cubs. And I think there are a lot of guys, managers and coaches, who talk about how to get more innings out of their pitchers. How do we get more innings? But not one of them wants to be the first. And Joe Maddon's give-a-damn broke many, many years ago. He doesn't care what you think of him. He's going to do what he thinks best for his team. And if you look at the people that he has on his ball club, they follow along with his program. He expects his pitchers to want to go nine. And we are creating a culture in the minor leagues, and it's carried all the way to the major leagues, where, you know, nine is, it's an unknown number to most kids. Kids start counting pitches in the fifth inning. How many come in the dugout, like in Double A? How many pitches do I have? Why do you want to know? And we are still, you know, we are bottle feeding pitchers to the point. And I think that's one of the reasons why when they get to the big leagues and they start doing the max effort, they are not prepared. I believe you can prepare yourself to do anything you want to do athletically. But now what we've done is we've taken a lot of milers and then turned them into 440 guys.
Joined by Hall of Famer Don Sutton, better than 300 wins, better than 3,500 strikeouts, at least in the short term. This season, it looks like the Braves won the Shelby Miller deal, and it's not even close. But I don't think that's an isolated incident. I think that's an indicator of the premium that's put on starting pitching today, even though, to your point, we're not getting as many innings out of that starting pitching. The offseason's coming up, and that price tag's just going to keep going up on starters.
Yeah, I agree with that. There aren't that many. And I hate, and we all do it, we evaluate trades in the now. And that's kind of like you and I sitting here, and I tell you, lean out the window, look at the sky, and that's the weather for Atlanta for the year. You know, that's a snapshot. And I think over the life of the players, that's how you have to evaluate a trade. I would agree that right now it appears the Braves won that deal. Dansby Swanson is special. You know, he's very special. NC Arte, I think, should get a gold glove this year. It is a great igniter to the front end of the lineup. So Shelby Miller is a very good pitcher who hit a bump in the road, and I think last year the stress of pitching so well and not getting anything for it may have affected him a little bit mentally. I still think Shelby Miller's going to have a good career. Is it going to be a career worthy of Dansby Swanson and NC Arte and a Blair? I don't know. I can't answer that question. He's a good kid. He's a hard worker. He's got great stuff. And I think when his career is over, we're going to look back and see some impressive numbers.
Right now you're wearing a navy blue hat. It says 50 years in Atlanta. At the start of business today, 11 games left in this ballpark. What's your favorite memory of Turner Field?
I think my favorite memory of Turner Field is working with Pete Van Wieren. And I don't want to sound maudlin about all this, but Pete taught me how to broadcast baseball. He was my first partner when I came here, and he told me three things are out there. The most important person in all this equation is the fan at home. The second most important, that's the players on the field. And the third most important is you. Do the game to be about the product that's taking place, not to have people remember that you said it. It's about what's going on, not about what you said. And I think one of the things frustrating as a broadcaster now, we've kind of gotten away from that. We got a lot of people in our profession who want you to know tomorrow they had the quip of the night, and in television that they get on SportsCenter with the quip of the night. But just the privilege of working with Pete, that in my mind is the best baseball broadcaster I've ever seen. He had a passion for the game and a passion for the fans, a love for its history and a love for its respect. Sure, there have been home runs and there have been great pitches, there have been clinches, there have been disappointments, but I think when I look back over my career as a broadcaster, the best thing that ever happened to me was Pete Van Wieren.
And nightly you get to sit in the Pete Van Wieren broadcast booth at Turner Field. Is that name going to transfer to the new ballpark?
That's a question I can't answer. They haven't asked me a whole lot about what I want in a new ballpark. See, I want a couch and a small bar in the back of our booth. I'm not sure I'm going to get that, but nobody's asked me. I would hope that it would. I would hope that the Skip Carey television booth and the Pete Van Wieren radio booth and the Ernie Johnson radio network, I hope all of those go to the new ballpark. Ernie Johnson created the network down here out of the trunk of his car. And Pete is the professor, and Skip is the most glib guy I have ever seen broadcasting baseball. He was at his best when the team was getting beat 13-0. So he had a great spontaneity that I envy.
For a few years, you've gotten to watch the Marlins play the Braves 19 times a season. And in the Marlins rotation since 2013, Jose Fernandez. What impresses you the most about watching him pitch?
I think his passion for the game. And it rubs people the wrong way sometimes. It doesn't me. I think he plays with the exuberance of a little kid. He loves to pitch. You can see that. I like people who want to walk out on the mound and say, this mound is mine, and you're going to have to beat me because I believe I'm good. If you think it's confidence, if you display it, it's called arrogance. I think that's a bunch of bull, too. But I think he is one of the most dominant young pitchers around. I had a chance to visit with him a number of times via Tony Perez. And his knowledge of the history of the game impresses me. Now, when you think about his culture, he hasn't been long in the U.S., but still, he is an encyclopedia of baseball history and pitching history. So that impressed me right away. And I envy his stuff. I wish I could have had it. And watching him pitch, I just love the passion he takes to the mound. And I love the fact that when he walks out there, you know you got your work cut out for you. That's just to stay close to him because he is that good. And the thing I would wish for him was good health, because if he has good health, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Jose is one of those pitchers who's talked about, since he's come back from the surgery, maybe not going max effort on every pitch and scaling it back. And I recently heard an interview with John Smoltz about maybe pitchers today don't have as much feel when they could go throw a 70% pitch and extend their innings. And this season with Jose, I know that's been one of his efforts. Let's go back to that John Smoltz rotation. Late 90s, that's a rotation that you got 1,000 innings out of. You had Danny Nagel along with three Hall of Fame starters. What memories specifically do you have out of those guys, and will we ever see a rotation like that?
I don't think it's out of the question that that rotation can pop up again. I'm not sure how this is going to sound. I'm not sure I thought we would ever see one like the Baltimore Orioles had when they had 420-game winners. I'm not sure I thought I'd ever see another one like in 1966 the Dodgers had, when the four guys pitching there all ended their careers with more than 40 shutouts. That's kind of impressive, but I think the uniqueness of the personalities with those three guys you mentioned, their difference in the way they went about their business, and the fact they did it successfully. One of the things right now that I think we are doing wrong in the minors, and since I have no responsibility, I can have a lot of opinions. We're not teaching kids how to pitch. We're not teaching them the art of pitching. We're teaching them to execute pitches. Now, when you look and you watch the catcher look over in the dugout between every pitch, he's asking for guidance. What do I call? What play do we run? And I asked a manager recently, what do you expect a pitcher to know when he goes to the mound? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you tell him, a lot of times you call the pitches. You tell him when to pitch out, when to step off, when to throw over. And if he gets a jam in the sixth inning, you come take him out of the ballgame. So I think one of the things we're not doing to kids in the minors is teaching them how to wade through adversity. One of the greatest meetings I ever had as a 20-year-old in AA. It had gotten off to a pretty good start. We had a lead, and bang, bang, I look up. I've got second and third, nobody out with a lead in the sixth inning. And Roy Hartsfield was the manager, walked out, and he walked right up to me and got nose to nose, and he said, you got your butt in a jam, don't you, son? I go, yes, sir, I do. He said, get your butt out of it. Turned and walked away. So I think in the generation we're in now, you might have seen five pitchers in that inning. But what he was telling me is if you're going to stick in this game, it's not going to be perfect every night. You've got to figure out what to do the next day. And when you get beat, you're going to wake up the next morning, and you're going to figure out how to not let that happen. I think right now we are pablum feeding pitchers so that we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to shortchange their growth. But we're just not letting kids battle through adversity. Now, the same thing, okay, I have had kids in school. What if I helped them study for the exam, and when it was time to take the exam, I stood there over their shoulder and said, no, that's not the right answer. Have we accomplished anything? No. In the system that we're in baseball right now, and I guess it's what baseball wants, we're not teaching kids how to handle adversity. And if you ask a kid why he threw a 2-0 changeup with a left-handed hitter up and, infield in, he probably can't tell you. And to struggle and to get their butts kicked and then to move on is something we're not teaching young pitchers.
Hall of Famer Don Sutton on the Marlins Radio Network. 20 seasons of 200 innings or more, 20 seasons of 30 starts or more, 2 seasons of 40 starts or more. So you certainly have been out there for just about every scenario on the mound. You've seen a lot, and to your point, been through a lot and had to work yourself out of those scenarios, which perhaps we're not seeing so much more at the major league level right now. As far as the bullpen goes, once you turn it over to the pen and to the relievers, we saw last year, and in 2014 a little bit as well, with the Kansas City Royals, they say, I need my starter to go 6. I have a guy for the 7th, a guy for the 8th, and a guy for the 9th. Is there any veracity to that kind of formulaic success? It's worked for the Royals so far. Do you think that's the new future of pitching?
Probably. Unfortunately, I think it probably is. But you need 3 guys you can count on to come out of the bullpen to make that work, and you need a starter to get you the lead and to keep the lead. One of the things that I keep hearing people complain about, our bullpen is overworked. Well, have a starter go another inning. I don't think it's going to kill him. So many times this year I've seen starters go into the 7th inning, winning 4-1, working on a 3-hitter, and out. Why? Because he's close to the 100-pitch count. Nobody has proven to me that you turn into a pumpkin at pitch 101. I see all the stats and all the theories. So, I really don't understand how we evolved to this. I understand specialization, but I think that goes back to what I was saying before. It's become more and more a manager and a coach and a general manager's game rather than a player. I had the great privilege of playing in 1982 on the Milwaukee Brewers. It's the best ball club I was ever on. Why? Because they didn't need a manager nor a coach. They had good ones. But they would have played the game the right way if nobody was in the stands and there was nobody wearing a coach or a manager's uniform. I think that's a lost art of doing it the right way. And if we want to take it out of pitching, look at how many times shifts are out there now. So you got guys still stubbornly trying to hit it through the shift, where if you choke up, take a little swing, and you hit a little dribbler to the left side, if it's a right left-handed hitter, you got base hit. So basically what that guy's telling me, I'm saying I want to hand you 15 hits, and they're saying, no thanks, I got enough. Yeah, no thank you. And I think, too, as far as the pitching is concerned, we've changed our expectations. We've lowered our expectations for what is good, and we're paying more for the privilege of having lower performance.
That 1982 Milwaukee team, does it go to the hierarchy, the leadership in the clubhouse, or what, just a general team chemistry? Did you say that's the best team that you played on? What was so special about that?
Everybody on that ball club knew how to play the right way. And, I mean, we had four guys that looked like they had escaped from Attica State Prison. We had two Alder boys, and we had the rest of us. But when it was game time and crossed the white lines, there was one heartbeat. And everybody knew what their role and their responsibility was. That ball club put on their own hit and run. They put on their own steals. You know, I can remember calling a pitch out myself, intentionally walking a guy. Can you see a pitcher now putting up four fingers for his catcher? Heck no. He'd be out of the ball game. Or can you see a manager coming out and say, I want you to walk this guy, and a pitcher saying, no, I don't want to walk him. He'd be out of the ballgame, maybe out of the organization. I think we are expecting less and less professionalism from players now, and more just execute. Robotic baseball is pretty much what has come. Now, the logic, flitting from topic to topic, the logic of taking that guy out after six innings, who is pitching a three-hitter and winning 4-1, and bringing somebody out of the bullpen, that's the same logic as if Martin Prado had three doubles, but he came up in the eighth inning and you said, he's had too many swings tonight, so I'm going to pinch hit for Martin Prado. We use one set of logic for defense. We use another set of logic for offense. And I think that's one of the great things about being broadcasting. I can first guess everybody out there, and I haven't lost a game in 30 years.
Terrific point. Hall of Famer Don Sutton, inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame Museum 1998. Thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Boomer. Thanks for letting me visit with you.